Turns out today's guest and I have a ton in common. We met on Matchmaker, and after reading her bio and getting to know her a little bit, I said, girl, you're in. Nelly Yusupova is a startup tech advisor, helping leaders understand how to manage their technical teams without going full nerd. She helps companies build out their apps and get their products to market quickly, but she flips the script on how to go about that. Rather than let companies sling their idea out and then try to find customers, she helps them do the market research first and determine if the idea is even viable. And you can believe it, an idea that's shot down is much better than spending thousands or millions of investor funds on something that just wouldn't work. Nelly's poised to help lots of companies figure out how to pull off their dreams on time and under budget. Find out more about her at techspeakforentrepreneurs.com, where she hosts free classes every Wednesday, and you can learn the lean way to build products. Or find her under the handle at digitalwoman all over social media. Let's jump in. So how did we meet anyway? Did you find me by way of Matchmaker?
I think so. I think that's okay. Where we met. And yeah, I think I reached out to you, maybe. I don't remember.
I never reach out. I don't have any credits. Matchmaker's awesome because like I can just sit there and wait for guests to come to me and it's like, gotcha. You know, I have yet to say no to anybody. And I'll have people on the show and just chat about all kinds of what it's like starting off a business and you know, just what it is that fuels the dream. And like we were talking about before we hit the record button, right? It's like, I have people on the show and I'm like, wow, you're giving me ideas about what I can do with my own business. So I'm like taking notes over here. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
My fingers. Who is the audience largely? Do you know?
Mostly. It's mostly women, which is kind of weird because I am not a woman. But it that seems to be like the majority of listeners. I think probably about 65-70% of listeners are ladies. And a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people that are curious. They're, you know, kind of wanting to jump in.
Are they in tech? Are they in tech or are they just general businesses?
Oh, all over the place. All over the place. I've had people on that are in the fragrance industry, fashion industry. I've had people that are in tech. I've had people that are writers, authors, copywriters. I had a former dominatrix on one time and that was an interesting conversation. And yeah, it's all kinds, right? Because we've all got that common entrepreneurial spirit and there's just something, there's something weird about how our brains work, Nelly. And yeah, we're wired different. We're crazy.
Yeah. In a good way.
Exactly.
Different in a good way.
Yes, exactly. Here's to the crazy ones. Well, so walk me through a little bit about what your company does. What does your company do?
So I am a CTO. I'm a startup tech advisor. I play a lot in the tech space and I work with non-technical entrepreneurs and help them bring their app businesses to life.
Okay.
Without getting ripped off, really understanding how to manage the development team, how to communicate with them properly so that they, you know, especially now post the pandemic, I find that a lot of people, you know, have those ideas and they want to leverage technology, but because they're not technical, they're so afraid to even consider that.
Right.
So I've been talking a lot this year about why you should build an app business in 2021. I mean, technology is now in every business, right? In the next 5 years, and COVID accelerated the adoption. So in the next 5 years, if you're not, and like one concept that I talk about is actually being the creator of technology rather than just the user, because that will give you a lot more opportunity to capitalize on this market. Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is a common thing. And I was just talking with somebody about this yesterday over coffee. We got on the subject of how, I mean, disruptive it is that the pandemic just threw everything for a loop, but it's really caused a lot of people to be like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to build my own thing. And as far as apps are concerned, you're the one that's helping them build out their dream. Like, do you use any kind of software or is it leadership or how does
that work? I have, what I did is I packaged up my process. It's a 10-step process that I teach and it's a course. It's an online training. It's completely online post COVID. It used to be an in-person boot camp. And so people, it's like self-study course where I support them and walk them. And in it, they learn step-by-step how to, how to actually manage the team, what processes to put in place so that they can catch the mistakes earlier and minimize the mistakes that are happening.
Awesome. Well, we are similar in that regard then, because we're, I mean, I'm a CTO also, but a different kind. You know, we do a lot of stuff with the software testing and the automation. So whereas it sounds like you're focused on the leadership part, we're like, we're in the weeds with the software and being like, let's put some structure in place here to make sure you guys don't ship crap, you know, and just.
Well, I do that too as well.
I'll do so that
I
too. Okay.
Yeah. So I teach entrepreneurs how to work with the technical people.
Okay.
Because oftentimes if you're not technical, you obviously can't do the actual work, but right. You still need to know that good work is being done and right. That the advice that you're getting and the recommendations that you're getting are actually valid and that you're not being taken for a ride. And right. Then I think the big part of my concept that's maybe different than most what most people think about is most people build the product first and then mm-hmm. they go find a market for it. And I use lean and agile methodologies, and that completely flips the script and says, find your market first, identify the pain point, understand how you're going to make money, and know that by the time you invest all of the money that it takes to actually build a product, you'll already know that you have something that people want and you have the confidence to be able to invest that money to actually build it.
Yeah. You know, that is a very common thing. I imagine you see this happen a lot where people just run right out and in their haste to build their thingy, you know, make their dream happen, they build the thing first. And I think we've had it drilled into our heads, like, if you build it, they will come. And it's like, that only works in that one movie, Field of Dreams, right? But in real life, if you build it, they might not come, and you might spend six figures on something that just is a flash of the pan, or there's already something out there that does that. So doing the market research early is key. What do you think it is that causes people to just not want to do that? Like, why don't they just spend the time and just ask some people, hey, if I made this, would you buy it?
Well, and it's actually, it's not asking people, if I made this, would you buy it? Because most people will say yes.
Yeah.
I think there is in the tech startup world, there is a great concept or a great movement called the Lean Startup Movement. And mm-hmm. it's been done for a long time by Toyota, and they actually created that process in manufacturing first. And then a guy called Eric Ries took those concepts and applied them to startups. So this movement has been going on for at least 10 years, maybe even more. And the idea of getting out of the building and actually doing this one-on-one research, which is called customer development. And it's not about asking people what they want. It's about understanding what problems they have and then coming up with a solution to solve those problems. Because oftentimes we have an idea, like if we want to solve a problem a certain way, we want to solve it the way we think from our perspective, what the problem is. And then you go out into the market and you just need to refine that thinking. Because if you can refine that thinking before you actually build the product, then you can take that knowledge and bake it into your product that will actually ensure that you're solving that problem, and that when you launch the product, someone is actually going to be interested in it. Because with the way you think the problem is, or the way you frame the problem, even if you are building a product for people just like you, it's important to understand the perspectives of others and how they perceive that problem and build for the general public. Because you're not, even if you are your own customer, you are not the only one who has who's thinking about the same problem the same way that you do. Right. And so validation or customer discovery is so important, because it doesn't only allow you to understand the problem better, but you can actually understand who is the exact target market that you should go after that is interested in this product. And also, how big is the market, right? How much money can I actually potentially charge before understanding, like, is this worth my time? If your aspiration is to build $100 million business, you know, and all you can do is maybe in just your calculations, a $5 million business, then there's a misalignment and you already know like what the potentials are before you even start. So it's all about de-risking all your opportunities.
I like that. I like that. You know, there's some people, they'll have the grand aspirations of, like you said, they're going to build this giant company. But then if you look at how many people will actually, by research, purchase that, it's like, all right, I want to build a $100 million company and there are five people on the planet that are willing to do this. Are they going to pay $20 million a piece? Probably not. Probably not. So then that's where that comes in. That's what helps refine that idea. This is good stuff. I mean, I'm a business owner too. And there are things about what you're saying that I'm like, I haven't thought about this quite like that. I haven't thought in that particular direction. I probably should put a price tag on how big I want to get this company to be, you know, like
absolutely
at least $100,000. Yeah.
Yeah. I think way too many people have ideas of what things can be. And those ideas are just in their heads. And we love and fall in love with our ideas so much. And the more we dream about them, the more they grow in our heads. And like the pictures and the stories that we build up in our minds are oftentimes way out of proportion with what the reality is. And so, you know, the lean approach or the lean way of building products kind of systematically tells you step by step by step how to take that big idea and break it into smaller chunks, validate your most riskiest assumptions, and systematically learn what's going to work and what's not going to work, and adjust incrementally and in an iterative fashion rather than waiting 6 months to a year or even more to build something.
Right. You get that quick time to market. Another thing that it does as well is it helps you refine your focus. Like, I guess if you're really dead set on making a particular thing, then okay. But if your end goal is I want to help people and I want to solve a particular problem, well, now the focus isn't on I got to get this my idea out of my head. It's, hey, I've got skills and I want to bring them to the table to solve the world's problems. Your focus isn't on yourself. It's on the outside world. So yeah, I guess you gotta have a healthy amount of humility to do that lean startup stuff the right way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The key is to do it in a very unbiased way. And it's very, very hard. Yeah. Even when you're asking questions and do the customer discovery, there's two things that you can do, like in terms of bias. You can ask questions in a way that leads the user to actually say exactly what you want to hear. And then when you hear feedback, you can only hear the things you want to hear. So it's all about training yourself to remove yourself from the idea and really in that phase, focus on the customer and their journey and their experience and how you can take those insights and really start to see patterns across the board. And that's when you know that you have something.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, as you walk the entrepreneurial path, I'm sure you have learned some things. You have to have learned some things. Otherwise you're not businessing properly if you're not learning stuff, Nelly. But what have you learned about yourself? Like if you look introspectively and you think, wow, I didn't know that about myself 5 years ago, like what kinds of things have you realized?
Yeah, I think, so I'm a first generation immigrant. And I came to this country when I was a teenager. And I think that experience changed me so much into, you know, that concept of never fear what you don't know, breakthrough, and don't give yourself an option to give up simply because you know you have no other choice. And those things kind of automatically happened to me because of that experience early on. And very recently, I started analyzing of, you know, how did things happen for me in my career and why I was able to achieve, even as a female in the traditionally technical field, what helped me. And I think in retrospective, I found that those two things, this never fear what you don't know attitude and sometimes not giving yourself a choice of giving up, like failing is not an option, give you the perseverance that you need to push past the uncertainty, the fear, the all these emotional things that you have initially when you're starting a big new thing. And yeah, I think that's really something that I really started analyzing recently about all of the experiences that I've had that led me to it. And I think those two things are the things that helped me become where I am now.
Wow. That really resonates with me personally. There is something that has changed in my own mind that I don't think, first of all, I could ever go back to being anything but an entrepreneur. Like, if everything crashed and burned today, I'd probably start another thing, or I'd help my wife with her thing. But I love building things. And then I look at things like failure, right? Like, failure is not an option. And I look at that and I think, well, to me, failure is data. Like, it's not, oh my goodness, I suck, right? Something didn't work. It's, you know, we're both looking at life in an agile perspective, you know, like agile software development would be. And it's like, all right, well, that didn't work. So what's that mean? How could we adjust? What do we got to do differently? We're not going to sit and mope, obviously. Neither of us would do that, but we just treat it as a piece of data. How do we react to it? How do we adjust? We've got a lot in common. I never realize when I'm having a chat with somebody, I'm like, are we going to be wildly different from each other? Are we going to have stuff in common? We got a lot in common, Nelly. Like, what? Yeah. We're like practically cousins professionally.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
This is so cool. That's so cool. Well, what did you wish that someone told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago?
Well, I think I never actually knew anything about, I kind of fell into entrepreneurship by accident. And like you said, you know, once you discover and what it is and the passion that you have for solving the problems for people and for yourself, and like, that is so addicting. Like, I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think one thing I wish people told me early on, I don't know, about 5 years ago, but I discovered this and I thought, wow, I should have known this, is that you don't need to have all of the answers mm-hmm. on day one, because, right. You know, when you're green, you're like, I'm going to go solve the world.
Yeah.
Or solve the problems of the world. And you have all this passion and you wanted to be able to do all these things. And oftentimes, if you think you have to have all the answers, especially this is like for female people, entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. we want to have everything on the checklist before we think it's okay to move forward with something. And not having all the answers is okay. Taking smaller steps every single day and action is more important than knowing something, because every single step that you take will actually give you, like you said, more data to inform the next step that you should be taking. And I learned that, thankfully, early on in my career, and that helped me. But of course, before then, you feel overwhelmed and everything seems big to you. And so if I had to part one advice to people, it would be, you don't need to have all the answers. Just take small steps every day towards the goal.
Okay. You know, there's something wired up about our brains, everybody's brain, not just us entrepreneurs, weird ones, but regular people, right? You know, our brains have all been wired up to avoid risk. Risk is scary. And anytime that we step out and say, I don't have all the answers, but let's see what happens. Let's step out and do it anyway. That is really freaking scary. I mean, oh my goodness, right? Like, we're laughing now, but back when we first started, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna start a business. Oh my goodness, are we crazy? Well, yeah, but just taking those first steps, those first tentative steps into something new and unknown. And you get used to it after a while. You know, you start to get a little bit addicted to risk-taking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you just become okay with uncertainty. I think it's just something, I think the more you get exposed to anything, the more normal it becomes to you. And so just practicing being okay with uncertainty is going to make you more resilient to be around it. Yeah. And I think if you are an entrepreneur, being okay with uncertainty is an absolute must. So if you're not okay with it, you should be okay with at least practicing being okay with it.
Yeah.
And then you'll get better at it.
Yeah. Fake it until you make it, or
fake it till you make it.
There we go. Okay.
Totally works.
There we go. I'm sure I don't know what I'm doing, but excelsior. Wow. Do you find yourself like deliberately taking more risk in different areas of life? Like, do you skydive or something for fun to be like, I need a fix. Come on, just jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
No, I don't. I actually don't believe in that kind of risk.
Okay.
I don't do motorcycles. I don't jump off of planes.
You don't run with scissors. You don't do any of that fun stuff.
No. I think, to me, calculated risk is what I'm about, right? And using the lean methodology in both my personal life and professional life, I'm able to actually de-risk a lot of the decisions. Mm-hmm. And so systematically de-risking every single step of the way is how I approach it. I think when you do it that way, the big thing or the big failure never happens, because everything is about taking small steps. It's about iterating to success. And if something doesn't work out, it's okay, because it's not a big thing, right? You have been able to retake this big uncertain thing and make it a little bit more certain.
Right.
And I think that helps me de-risk a lot of the opportunities that are in front of me.
Yeah. Well, it helps you put little like bumpers and guardrails up as well, you know, sometimes. And I've told people, I'm like, all right, I spent probably 10 years of my career prior to being an entrepreneur, like cultivating a brain that's like, we got to think of the worst case all the time. Cause I have a background as a software tester. Like, we're paid to think of the worst case. And then it's like, awesome. I've reinforced this idea of, holy moly, what if this happens? And then I decide, okay, I'm going to start a business. And then everything is like, holy moly, what if that happens? And I'm scared of everything. And it's like, oops, I kind of shot myself with the foot. I do everything in life the hard way, Nelly, I find. It makes life a lot more enjoyable. It's more challenging. But while you're going through it, it's like, oh, why is it so easy for everybody else except me?
I look at it as edge cases. So if you're a tester and you are probably very familiar with it.
Oh yeah.
And edge cases are things that very rarely happen. So they could happen, but they very rarely happen. And so as an entrepreneur, you have to decide whether or not you're going to pay attention to edge cases, right? Whether it's building software or making a decision. And so I very often ignore the edge cases until they become problems, because I could worry about them. But if I can't do anything about them, is it worth my time and money thinking of the worst case scenario when I need to deal with the best case scenario right now, right? And so I think keeping those and being aware of those is important, but almost putting them on a shelf and leaving them alone is what I do until they need my attention.
Right.
It's like compartmentalizing what you need to focus on, because there's so many things that need your attention. And if you're always thinking about the edge cases, they're so rare that you're almost wasting your time and energy worrying about something that may never happen. And so use that time and energy worrying about something that's right in front of you that needs your attention instead.
Absolutely. And I find too, it's like, even on the rare chances that an edge case does happen, it's never as bad as you thought it was going to be. It's always like, oh my goodness, like everything's going to catch on fire. No, it's not. It literally didn't. It was a minor inconvenience. You got all worked up over nothing. So yeah, I'm learning. I'm catching up to you. I'll get to the point where I can just let it out. Just, you know, but I'm not there yet. I'm on a 30-year plan, you know, to get to the point where I can just like quit worrying about crap and just live the life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's amazing how much we fool ourselves into thinking that so many things are certain, and both life and being an owner has taught me there's really not a lot in life that is certain. And to some people it'd be like, whoa, that's really scary. But I actually take comfort in that, because even though there's a bajillion things that could go wrong, you and I, we're still alive. We're still healthy. We're here. We're able to spend time together on a podcast. I think things are going to be okay. I think we're going to make it, Nelly. I think we're going to make it.
I think so too. And I actually think that a lot of people perceive the 9-to-5 as a safe bet. Yeah. And so they stay there for many years, even though they're unhappy. And when you look at it rationally, it's actually not more safe than working for yourself. No. Because you are actually putting your fate into someone else's hands. Mm-hmm. And I know that my hands are a lot more capable than someone else's, right? And so if I had to decide who to trust, myself or someone else, then I would always pick myself, because I know that I can get stuff done. And I think a lot of people have that perception that, you know what, my paycheck, my regular paycheck can go away. But if you set up your business in a proper way and you are very smart about how you approach it and you get coaches around you when you need them and understand your weaknesses and things that you're really, really good at and your strengths, then, you know, you should be trusting yourself more, because you can actually control the things that you're doing rather than relying on someone else to do it.
Yep. That is, oh my goodness. That's a whole nother podcast episode. I could rap about that all day. I've been let go from 2 jobs in my career. And looking back, it's like, you know, you could be the best worker on the planet, but something elsewhere in the company, totally outside your control, could get mishandled and revenue could dry up and they just have to cut people. It's nothing you did wrong. It's outside of your control. But oh my goodness, you know, we sacrifice liberty for stability, and that is such a dangerous thing. So I'm not one, I hate saying, like, you know, the never say never, like never say never, because you never know, right? But I really, really, really do not ever want to go back into corporate America unless I'm there to help them and then leave and then do something else for another company. Yeah. So yeah, I love it. Well, this has been an awesome conversation. I've only got one more question to ask, and I should have asked this at the beginning. How do you pronounce your last name?
My last name is Yusupova.
Yusupova. All right. Well, there were like 4 different ways I could come up with, and I'm like, they're probably all wrong. And they were. So I will take a note about that. Yusupova. There we go. There we go. Excellent. Well, it's been amazing chatting with you, Miss Nelly. I really appreciated the time today. How would people find you if they wanted to take the plunge, build the thing, start their dream?
Yeah. Come and join us at techspeakforentrepreneurs.com. I do free classes every Wednesday. If you want to learn more about all the things that I'm talking about, the lean way of building products, I will literally break up the process for you for how you should be approaching it. And yeah, come join me there. And I'm Digital Woman everywhere on social, so you can very easily find me.
Nice. We're on social. Well, I will put that in the show notes, and I'll also say something about it in the intro here in a bit, and we'll see if we can get some people your way. All right.
Sounds great. Thank awesome. You, Michael.
Well, thank you, and have a good rest of the day. All right.
Thanks. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder, and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share, and this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.